podcast number two. Welcome to my ramblings. I'm going to start off by talking this time about something other than sports. Megan and I, a couple weekends ago, went outside of Augusta, and we found that there was a pumpkin patch. Picked up a few pumpkins there and talked to the ladies that own the pumpkin patch about some of the other attractions, I guess you could call them, that they had. What I was very enthused about was the pumpkin cannon. For $6, anybody can go hang out at the pumpkin patch as long as they want to and have an unlimited number of shots from the pumpkin cannon, where you just get to shoot a pumpkin out of a cannon. I don't see any problem with this at all. I think I could spend probably about 2 hours shooting pumpkins out of a cannon and being fairly entertained. I'm planning on hopefully going before my parents and my brother come down and finding out the trajectory of the cannon and things like that, and kind of getting a good estimate of where the pumpkin lands when you shoot it out of a cannon. And then telling Justin he needs to stand right about where the pumpkin lands, my little third grade brother. So, Justin, if you listen to this, be prepared. I'm going to put you where the pumpkin lands and shoot a pumpkin at you out of a cannon. Okay? Well, let's go ahead and move on to some sports talk today. It's been a while since I've been on. And recently, just a couple days ago, it was announced that the University of Kansas won a lawsuit against JoeCollege.com, a t-shirt maker in Lawrence, Kansas. Excuse me. Joe College is pretty famous in Lawrence. Anyone that goes to KU probably has a shirt that he's made. He was guilty of trademark infringement on the Jayhawk logo, colors, and pretty much everything else. The University of Kansas. He makes some decent shirts, and he makes some shirts that are pretty inappropriate, and I would say only a quote-unquote tool would wear. One of the shirts, I took a look at his website at JoeCollege.com. Took a look at his website. My favorite shirt that he has says, University of Kansas, this is where Jesus would have played basketball. Love that one. I think I might actually have to buy that shirt to help pay for his $667,000 court costs that he has to pay. One of the shirts that I thought was just lame, and people probably buy it, but I think it's pretty dumb, is We Will Hawk You. Pretty dumb shirt. They also have some shirts referencing players and things like that, and University of Kansas was all over it. So, Joe College, sorry, but I'll still buy a shirt from you. Hopefully. We'll see. Because I do bet that Jesus would probably play at University of Kansas, but it might have been Bethel College instead. Last time I talked on here, I discussed two Royals who were playing really well, and since I had that discussion or had talked about that on my last podcast, Billy Butler has been on fire, and he's been recognized. I think it was either today or yesterday, article came out on ESPN.com that brought this to my attention. I had no idea. Billy Butler is the fifth player ever in the history of Major League Baseball to hit 20 home runs and 50 doubles before he was 24 years old. Let me tell you the other players that have done this. Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols, Hank Greenberg, and Miguel Cabrera. Now, A-Rod, Pujols, and Greenberg, they are Hall of Famers. Greenberg's already in the Hall of Fame. Pujols, definite Hall of Famer. A-Rod, definite Hall of Famer, depending on how you vote for the steroids, but his stats are amazing. Miguel Cabrera, solid player, probably a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. I mean, he's already got about 208 home runs, and I think he's only 27 years old. So he's got plenty of time to do a lot more damage. If Miggy keeps playing the way he is, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. What does this say about Billy Butler? Let's find out. A-Rod, when he was 20 years old, second year in Major League Baseball, 20-year-old, hit 54 doubles and 36 home runs when he was 20. He was second in the MVP voting that year and led the league in batting average. Amazing year. Okay, 54 doubles, 36 home runs. Albert Pujols, when he was 23, 51 doubles, 43 home runs. Those are just absolutely amazing stats. Hank Greenberg, now this was cool. Hank Greenberg hit 63 doubles, 63 doubles, and he hit 26 home runs at the age of 23. Miguel Cabrera, a couple years ago for Florida, 50 doubles, 26 home runs, 23 years old. And so far, Billy Butler has hit 51 doubles and 21 home runs, 23 years old. Fifth player ever to have over 50 doubles and over 20 home runs. Congratulations, Billy. Took a look at baseballreference.com, my favorite place to go check out some very specific stats if you want to look at them. And notice that in the second half of the season, Billy Butler's hit 321. To raise his average above, well above 300 now. He has 55 RBI in the last 69 games. That's pretty good as well. At home this year at Kauffman Stadium, Billy Butler's batting average is 362. The last player to be even close to that was in the year 2000, Johnny Damon. It's been a while since a Royal has played this good. I think in the last few games, we should all celebrate with Billy Butler and his great season. He did an awesome job this year. And last but not least, for the Royals, definitely not least, let's talk about Zach Greinke. So far this year, Zach Greinke, amazing, 16-8 with a 2.06 ERA, first in the major leagues, 2.06, giving up less than 2.5 runs a game. He's second in the majors with 237 strikeouts, and I took a look at the average runs that the Royals score when Zach Greinke plays. When Zach pitches, the Royals have averaged 3.7 runs a game. And four times when Grinke's been on the mound, they have scored zero. Took a look at how many times just this year, that the Royals have scored three or less runs when Zach Greinke's been on the mound. Just this year, 19 times the Royals have scored three or less runs with Zach Greinke on the mound. 19 times. I took a look to see what would happen if Zach Greinke and CC Sabathia would switch teams. Those are the two front runners for the Cy Young. CC Sabathia's average run per game support is 6.02. Now, he does play for the Yankees, so he's got a lot more offensive firepower. But 6 runs a game when he pitches, compared to Zach Greinke's 3.7. Then I took a look at how many times that CC Sabathia, when he was on the mound, how many times the Yankees scored 3 or less runs. Only 8 times, compared to the 19 times that when Greinke has been on the mound. I don't see how you cannot give Zach Greinke the Cy Young for his absolutely amazing performance this year. 2.06 ERA. Again, 2.06. It's an amazing stat. It's probably the best year of Royal has ever had on the mound. And I don't see another player that deserves the Cy Young as much as him, especially when you look at the run support that he has compared to all the other good pitchers in the league. He's at least 2 runs short of everybody else. 2 runs a game that he doesn't get that all the other pitchers get. He would probably have about 25 wins if he was on the Yankees instead of the 16 that he currently has. Last thing I want to talk about is the Big 12 football conference. So far, most teams have played 4 games, and Texas is leading the way, obviously. They've just been dominant on offense, and their last game against UTEP, they played pretty darn well as well. Oklahoma's had Sam Bradford injured with an injured shoulder. They've looked a little beatable. In fact, they were beaten earlier this year. Bradford is looking to come back against Miami because that's going to be a tough, tough game against 2 top 10 teams. Oklahoma State is 3-1 right now. They struggled against Houston in a shootout, So their defense needs to improve if they want to make a run with the big boys of Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12 South. KU so far has played pretty solidly. I think sometimes they've had some defensive lapses, but one of the bright spots for KU so far, Tobin Operum, true freshman running back, has come in and has just been wonderful. Last week he had 109 yards rushing and a touchdown as a true freshman. Missouri's next on the list. Don't like talking about them too much, but they definitely have a wonderful replacement for their All-American quarterback last year, Chase Daniel. Blaine Gabbert, 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions so far this year. They've stepped it up big time, losing Chase Daniel and Jeremy Macklin on the offensive side of the ball. Nebraska's having a pretty good comeback season. They're 3-1 to start. They're in the top 25. Texas A&M just found out that they have the number one total offense in the nation. Who knew that Texas A&M was such an offensive powerhouse? They haven't played two quality of teams yet. We'll find out where they're at in the South after they start playing Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas Tech. Baylor, horrible news for them this week. They were trying to make a turnaround with their program that has been one of the worst in the past decade. Their star quarterback is out for the season with an ACL tear. Not good news for them. And their backup is currently injured with a shoulder injury. Doesn't look like it's going to be a good rest of the season for the Bears, who started off 2-1. Iowa State already has more wins this year than they did all of last year, 3-1, but I don't see them getting many more wins, maybe one this week against K-State. Who's next? K-State, 2-2. They've lost some pretty bad games. Have not played well in any game. They don't have a consistent quarterback, and I don't see them winning more than 3 Big 12 games this year. Probably Iowa State, Colorado, and then a luck win. And then there's Colorado, who has completely fallen apart. They were some people's dark horse choice, surprise choice, to possibly win the Big 12 North. Their quarterback play has been subpar. Their coaching has been horrendous. I'm sorry for the Buffalo fans. It's definitely not 1990 anymore for you. Well, that's another podcast from me, Brad Coleman. If you liked it, let me know. If you didn't, let me know. Sorry I didn't talk about KCAC football this week. I will talk about it for just a second. I was not at the Bethel College game last week, but I did hear that Bethel lost quite a tough game to Kansas Wesleyan. From the people that I talked to, the final 15 seconds of the game went like this. Bethel scores to go up with 15 seconds left. They kick off with 15 seconds left to Kansas Wesleyan. And Kansas Wesleyan runs a couple plays, call a couple timeouts, good coaching, good clock management. And play happens, time runs out. Bethel thinks they won. Players celebrating, everything like that. Referee stops all the partying happening on the field from the Bethel players for their first win this year and tells the clock manager to please put 1 second back on the clock. Now, with 1 second on the clock, you still have to make a play no matter what. Whether it was the right thing for the ref to do or not, you have to be able to make a play with 1 second left on the clock. K-Dub, Kansas Wesleyan, is about 45 yards away from the end zone. Not going to kick a field goal from there. They've got to score a touchdown to win the game. 1 second left. They throw a pass, drop back, and almost get sacked a couple times. Quarterback scrambling around, chucks it downfield. Wide receiver makes a great catch of the 5-yard line, walks into the end zone for the victory with 1 second on the clock. Not saying that the game should have gone to that point, but when it did, the players have to make the play. Okay? Doesn't matter if it was right or wrong for the ref to put the time back on the clock, you have to make the play. I kind of sound like Herm Edwards right now, I think. You play to win the game. And you do. And you've got to make that last play, no matter what situation you get placed in. So hopefully Bethel can come back from this. Hopefully this is not the sign of Bethel taking a little bit out of their sails. They need to win a couple games. They're 0-4 right now. Hopefully they can get back to the way that they were playing a couple years ago when they were just rolling through the conference. Hopefully that happens. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, go BC.